Support for GLT's Grow comes from Chris Holderly at Advantage Lawn and Landscape, offering customized services for commercial and residential landscaping and property design, including staging for long-term growth during all seasons. Proud to serve Central Illinois. Details at growingadvantage.com. This is 89.1 GLT and WGLT.org.
Plants are part of many of the products we buy, clothes, furniture, and also personal care products. But what's a botanical? And are products really made with 100% botanicals? I'm Mike McCurdy. This is GLT's Grow, your source for practical gardening advice from our expert Patrick Murphy from Illinois State University School of Biological Sciences and curator of the Fell Arboretum. And Patrick, you're going to explain some of the labeling we see on face cream, shampoo, food, and other products?
Yeah, let's talk about that.
So before we talk about percentages, let's talk about botanicals. What is a botanical?
The botanicals I'd like to talk to you about are included in thousands of products that tout the use of plant parts or plant-derived formulas for their products. These products are a number of things, from consumables to supplementals like, you know, vitamins and dietary things, and then the body and the hair stuff.
So I see the body and the hair stuff advertised on TV, and I hear the phrase, you know, botanical, but I have never really paid much attention to it. Is a botanical or not necessarily?
Well, the building block for a botanical is what's called a crude botanical material, or just crude botanical. And that's kind of the starting place for what is added to other ingredients, for example. So lavender-infused candle would have some kind of lavender pulp added to the wax and maybe even the wicking. And then another example would be flavored coffees. A lot of times are flavored by adding an oil to the already roasted bean. So that would be an example of using a crude to augment some other botanical product.
But still a natural product.
Still natural.
So how can a manufacturer say, or should they even attempt to say, that their product is made with 100% botanical extracts? It sounds like the product itself is 100% botanical. That's not the case.
Yeah, when it comes to cosmetics and the apothecary products, that's where it starts to get a little bit crazy. And if you read the list of ingredients, that tells us all what is there, what's in that package that makes it a botanical. And just like with food, the ingredients are listed in the order of the how much they represent, the quantity. So the top of the list, that's the most, okay? And it is lawful for them to make the claim of 100% botanicals, even when the product is less than 1% of its contents, because the botanicals that they do use are 100%
okay.
Botanicals.
So it's a little misleading.
Yeah.
So what's the real harm here? Are consumers being misled? Probably. Is the environment being harmed by the harvest of these plants or products? Is it the packaging? What's the issue here?
I don't know if it's the harvesting as much. You know, agriculture and nature have conflicts all over the place, but the irony, in my opinion, is it's the packaging. That a lot of this stuff comes in, whether it's the real deal or if it's the kind of the bogus, gee, your hair smells terrific version, they all have a package. So they're damaging the environment in that way. The West and the developed nations use tens of thousands of gallons of beauty products every year, you know, and that's going down into the ground and septic systems and sewers and everything. So there's an impact from that also. And you and I have had discussion offline about this, and a lot of it's overused, and it's actually harmful to you if you're just using it all the time versus letting yourself go au naturel for short, tolerable periods of time.
And it also gives the manufacturer an opportunity to make huge claims.
That's right, exactly. So it's the consumers, the wiser.
So some of these products are not cheap. What's driving the costs of these products? Is it simply sort of a marketing thing where if it costs more, people think it's a better product?
I think that is out there, and that's reflected in expensive packaging, right? So you can get something that's kind of bogus and a really cool package, and then that's a home run because the package is so appealing. The greater the purity, however, that these products contain equals the greater effort required to produce it, and then that brings the higher prices. So there are some of these products that are just phenomenal. And if you secretly have an affection for these products, you might be aware of what they are. So I can contrast it by saying Jo Malone is a cologne person, a fashion person, if you will. And he has some fabulous stuff, and it's a citrus body lotion, for example. $150 for 8 ounces.
That's not going to go very far.
It's a fave. It's a fave. But, man, is the packaging nice. Right? Okay, so then there's another product that I've come across.
And by nice, you mean overpackaged.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great product. But I think that the price is the pack, because the packaging is just fabulous. And if you stay in a really nice hotel, you might see the Jo Malone in the shower in the bottles that they don't want you to steal.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So there's that side of it. So, yeah, it smells great, and it's a great product. But the botanical extracts are limited in there, as indicated by the ingredients on the label. But they also have some products like fragrances where it's 100% botanicals with a little bit of water and maybe some alcohol as a carrier, right? But then there's one product called Lush Mike, and then they make lots of bars for everything under the sun. Soap, they make little tabs that substitute toothpaste. So you crunch it up in your mouth and brush your teeth with some water. And the beauty there is it's either no packaging because it comes in a solid bar, or it comes in a very limited, modest package, like a tiny little cardboard box filled with a bunch of little aspirin-sized pills for the toothpaste stuff. This stuff's great, but it's not cheap. It lasts for a while, but I think that there's merit in it because there's no animal testing. It's really high in botanicals, real botanicals. The rest is water and some fat, and it smells great, and it lasts for a long time, and when it goes down the drain, it's not doing that much damage.
Well, that sounds like a better deal than the toothpaste that I'm used to buying, which is a small tube in a big package. I went and bought my name brand toothpaste not too long ago. They shrank the tube and put a piece of cardboard in there so the tube doesn't move around. So I'm buying the same size cardboard package, but yet a smaller tube. I was like, what are you doing?
Ingenious.
Yeah, so, and I have to recycle that cardboard packaging, and who knows what happens to them. I mean, the tube itself ends up in the landfill. It's part plastic, it's part metal. Nothing you can do with it.
I know. It all adds up, doesn't it?
Let's talk about the products that go in us and not on us for a moment. Things we drink, for instance, a botanical we might consume. It's not simply juice, for instance.
Right. So juice extracted for direct consumption, you know, we've got apple juice and orange juice. Another step to add the juice or modify the juice to create a mixable blend. That's different because extracts were initially discovered as part of being resourceful by pioneering folks. And it was discovered that the extracts oftentimes had a much longer shelf life than the parent plant source has. So the applejack is an example of these extracts being added in a way that the applejack, which was a common beverage for people of antiquity, it would last in this wooden barrel for quite a long time.
Is it basically apple cider?
I think it's hard cider that's cut with water, and a lot of times it was made with the cores and what was left over from harvesting the pulp of the apple.
So that's the extract part.
Yes, and also, old-fashioned times, apples were not always the big beauties that we see at the grocery store. They a lot of times were just crab apples, and they would smash that whole crab apple and get the pulp out of there, force it out with some water, maybe add some sugar and some yeast to it, but it would still be a kind of a spicy, watered-down version of apple cider with alcoholic content.
Are food products looked at more closely than, say, shampoo? I guess by looked at, I mean regulated more closely.
Fortunately, they are. So we talked about the example where what they can get away with in the shampoo and say it's 100% botanical extracts. That's the crazy part. Fortunately for us, the food, it's regulated much more strictly, and the supplements are also being regulated more strictly than they have been in the past, given the same scrutiny as food.
If you have any questions about gardening, such as botanicals, let us know, and we might answer it on an upcoming episode of Grow. I'm Mike McCurdy with Patrick Murphy. Send your gardening questions to WGLT.org/grow.